produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome to the 9 o'clock edition of American Exposé for Tuesday, the 5th of July, 2005. Oh, boy. Things keep moving and manipulating and showing its ugly face. We have information on homes being destroyed in Zimbabwe. Maybe for building sustainable communities. Who knows? But, as I said before, we've got to connect this dot, this CAFTA and Codex, And obviously here, dated July 1st, the Senate on Thursday endorsed a free trade agreement with six Latin American nations, handing a major win to President Bush, who has promoted the accord as a mark of U.S. commitment to democracy and prosperity in the hemisphere. Now, those of you that are educated and understand the big picture in place, that should bring chills up your spine. The vote was 54 to 45 in favor of the Central American Free Trade Agreement, setting the stage for a final battle in the House, where the agreement's many critics have vowed to defeat it. The House vote, probably in July, is too close to call, and once again, it's going to be a majority vote, not a two-thirds majority vote, but a 50% majority vote, 51% majority vote, put it that way. So, it's extremely interesting, people, that we live this sham in 2005. But listeners, when I, when it was 1995, I had every inclination that it was going to be exactly like this in 2005, back in 1995. The continued direction continues and moves along, and that's why it's important to get other people involved in understanding the big picture in place. The shell game continues. Codex ratified by an empty shell, and certainly Darren had John Hamill on. Most proud of Darren for doing that, as he wouldn't come on my show. Darren does excellent work, has an excellent broadcast, and obviously you see the reason to have him on the air if you listen to Darren Weeks. What Codex ratified was a framework with the blanks on allowable potencies to be filled in next November at the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Use Meeting in Bonn. How they intend to fill those blanks, however, is highly predictable, given that the World Health Organization's Nutrient Risk Assessment Project is being led by an FDA employee, Christine Lewis Taylor, a dietitian who firmly believes that taking any nutrient above RDA levels merely enriches the urine. The pharma-dominated Vitamin Trade Association has conned their vitamin company and health food store members into thinking that sound science would be used to fill in the blanks on allowable potencies, and that a victory was won when he moved to scrap RDAs as the basis for filling in the blanks was replaced by a move to base them on scientific risk assessment instead. That's how scientific is, in fact, when they're only looking at presumed risks while ignoring benefits. The pharma-dominated trade association have conned their members into believing that the endpoint of Codex risk assessment would be the SULs, or safe upper levels, SULs, safe upper levels, generated by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences. These numbers aren't much different from the potencies that vitamin companies are currently allowed to sell in the USA, so vitamin companies have easily bought into this lie. The awful reality, however, is that the SULs are only the starting point for the most unscientific risk assessment based on the fine print calls for them to be further watered down, until by subtracting junk science-derived nutrient risk factors and junk science-derived numbers from some mythical average diet, which doesn't in fact exist, you end up with the numbers generated by the German Federal Institute of Risk Assessment, which, as you can see, in some cases are lower than the RDAs. The UK-based Alliance for Natural Health sees all of this and is an effort to head off commissioned the Dutch-based HAN Foundation, that's H-A-N Foundation, to do a properly scientific risk assessment which takes into account the benefit of dietary supplements, which the so-called World Health Organization is outrageously ignoring completely. Judging from just what happened in Rome, however, no vitamin consumer in America can count on Codex paying the least bit of attention to the Hahn Foundation's findings, however, when Codex meets next November. We have to assume the worst, that they'll fill in the blanks on allowable potencies exactly the way the FDA would want them to, which is, of course, just the way the German government would like, as seen in this table. Why we must kill CAFTA on the House floor, and how CAFTA ties in with Codex, the CAFTA vote, anytime after Congress convenes on July 11th, and we must not allow CAFTA and Codex to override the DSHEA. So the Central America Free Trade Agreement CAFTA treaty will require the U.S., a member of the World Trade Organization, to revise our food laws and regulations based on Codex decisions. CAFTA would force harmonization of our dietary supplements and regulations to international standards, overriding the DSHEA Act of 1994, Central American Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, and the even broader Free Trade Area of the Americas are both modeled after the North American Free Trade Agreement. And as a matter of fact, all I would say is about that is that they're just an extension of NAFTA and GATT, which is the granddaddy of it all. The General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade is the granddaddy of it all, formed in 1947. So these agreements are typical bureaucratic monsters of managed trade and masquerade as free trade, and would expand NAFTA to include first Central America and then the rest of the Americas on an economic union. And certainly free trade would take a few pages of written text to enact, eliminate these barriers to trade and these tariffs, etc. All three of these agreements encompass thousands of pages of bureaucratic textual garbage sprinkled liberally with rules, regulations, and special interest benefits. Buried in the language of CAFTA is Section 6, which would require all of its members that they form a sanitary and phytosanitary committee for the purpose of ensuring ongoing harmonization under the terms of the SPS, that's Sanitary and Phytosanitary Agreement in the World Trade Organization. All this information is available. We'll cover it tonight. So if you look at Article 3 of the World Trade Organization SPS Agreement, you will read the following words, quote, to harmonize sanitary and phytosanitary measures on as wide a basis as possible, members shall base their food safety measures on international standards, guidelines, or recommendations, end quote. So as you know, Codex sets the international standards for food safety, including vitamins and minerals. So CAFTA, which is set for a vote in the House of Representatives any time after they reconvene on July 11th, is another critical link by which health freedom haters hope to bypass the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994 and obligate the United States and Canada by treaty to harmonize to the restrictive Codex vitamin and mineral standards, partially restrictive. They cannot be allowed to succeed. And those at the NHF completely oppose these two treaties that would put a knife in the back of our health freedoms. And this is what I've been talking about for months and months and months. And the bottom line is we are set up in a situation that has been going on for decades. Absolute decades. From the Health Freedom Coalition, the National Health Freedom Coalition, Codex Full Commission adopts Codex guidelines for vitamin and mineral food supplements in final form July 4, 2005 in Rome, Italy, by Diane Miller. And she states that minutes ago the Full Commission of Codex Alimentarius adopted a final form, the Codex guidelines for vitamin and mineral food supplements. This adoption is the Step 8 adoption, the final stage of adoption for the International Codex Guidelines. The Codex Vitamin and Mineral Food Supplements Guidelines are now official and no longer in draft form. The Commission, attended by over 85 of the 171 Codex countries, adopted the guidelines by consensus method. There was brief discussion before adopting this measure, taking in comments from a small number of countries and two non-governmental organizations, NGOs. Australia requested adding the word only in section 1.3 between the words apply and in. The sentence would then read, these guidelines apply only in those jurisdictions where products defined in 2.1 are regulated as foods, end quote. Australia's comments were followed by requests from Venezuela and Spain to clarify the Spanish translation. Venezuela was followed by China, Communist China listeners, which stated that every government in making decisions about vitamins and minerals should take into account the dietary limitations of their own countries. The governments can select vitamins and minerals according to the customs and habits of their country. China also points out that there should be definitions to the sources of vitamins. Oh, that sovereign country, communist China. Oh, boy. Colombia spoke up and commented that vitamins and minerals are intended for deficiencies and are recommended for health reasons, and said that there has to be no exaggerated use of minerals. Egypt committed and offered clarification, saying that vitamin and minerals can be considered if daily needs are not being met. If you have any input tonight, you can call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773. After the countries were heard, the chairman recognized NGOs, National Health Federation, NHF, a worldwide consumer organization with NGO status at Codex, was recognized to speak. Attorney Scott Tipps of NHF stood and requested the guidelines to be adopted, but rather to be sent back to committee for three important reasons. Requested the guidelines not to be adopted, people. And according to Codex rules, a purpose statement must be part of all guidelines adopted, and the vitamin and mineral guidelines did not contain a purpose. Secondly, the guidelines did not define vitamin and mineral, and therefore it is unclear as to what is being regulated. See, this is the way the whole system works. This is the way the whole United Nations system has been working for years. Everything is loosely defined in the UN Charter to be construed any way they want when the time comes. And lastly, he pointed out that the Chinese comments were substantive, and according to Codex rules on page 27 of the procedural manual, a substantive amendment request should be addressed at the committee level. And his comments were heard. The NGO IADSA, it was recognized, stressed the fact that the draft guidelines should be adopted because they had been worked on in committee for nearly 10 years and that valuable consensus had been reached in the Bonn, Germany committee meeting, and the guidelines should now be passed. After all the comments, the chair consulted with the council to assess whether the addition of the word only would change the meaning of the sentence. After learning that it would not be consulted with Australia, and Australia repeated the request for amendment, the chair recommended adoption of the amendment, and there was no dissent. Then the chair recommended the guidelines to be adopted at Stage 8 in their final form, and that Communist China submit their substantive agreement request to the committee at their next meeting. And there was no further comment or dissent from any country, and the guidelines were adopted. The bottom line of all this, loss of sovereignty. The bottom line of our entire country, we were born into loss of sovereignty. And that's the bottom line of this whole scenario that we live with today. We have one world dictatorship being crammed down our throats under the guise of a good thing. A good thing. And on the website, you'll find the United States Office of the Trade Representative. You'll find CAFTA, the DR Techs, Central American Dominican Republic, United States Free Trade Agreement. That's the Central America, Dominican Republic, United States Free Trade Agreement, which was signed on August 5, 2004, is designed to eliminate tariffs and trade barriers and expand regional opportunities for the workers, manufacturers, consumers, farmers, ranchers, and service providers of all the countries. CAFTA-DR will immediately eliminate tariffs on more than 80% of U.S. exports of consumer and industrial products, phasing out the rest over 10 years. 80% of CAFTA DR imports already enter the United States duty-free under the Caribbean Basin Initiative. generalized system of preferences and the most favored nation programs. The CAFTA-DR will provide reciprocal access for U.S. products and services. It's here. It's a big boondoggle. It's on the website, the full CAFTA agreement. It's there for you to disseminate as you feel able. So once again, there's going to be a battle in the Congress over CAFTA. A setup scenario that we live today is most obviously manipulated to me. It's under the guise of global control, global implementation, and global control. Here we see in the paper, June 17th, state bases were safe in talks, they say. Pentagon documents show BRAC process. Defense Department officials who developed the base closure recommendations briefly considered closing the huge repair depot at Tinker Air Force Base, but quickly decided such a move was a show stopper and unaccountable. Now, there's so much information on bases, and it's hard to get into this with any great degree, but there's an article entitled Airbase Rates Bases by Mission. In evaluating its installations for the base closure process, the Air Force judged military value in 8 categories, all considering how a base could host a specific kind of mission. Oklahoma's 3 Air Force bases did well in some categories, but not as well in others. Military value is, by law, the primary factor used in the decisions about which bases will be closed or realigned. And when we understand realignment and closure, what does realignment mean? Military value comprises 4 of the 8 criteria outlined by Congress when it approved the 2005 round of closures. Unlike the Army, which looked at all its nearly 100 major installations and developed one list that ranked them in order of military value, the Air Force made 8 different lists for its 154 bases, Air Guard stations, and labs. According to the report, listeners, every base was rated on its ability to host 8 mission areas: fighter, bomber, tanker, airlift, special operations, combat search and rescue, command and control, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, unmanned aerial vehicles, and space operations. Oh, somewhere around here, I have an article where they're getting ready to go back to the moon. Oh, boy. Does anything make sense in this day and time, listeners? In this day and time, does anything make sense at all? I'm just amazed at how people continue to accept what they're being told. Tinker Air Force Base scored near the top in the tanker category for mission involving KC-135s, and Tinker already hosts the AWACS and Navy E-6 surveillance planes, according to retired Air Force General Richard Burpee, a former commander at Tinker's repair depot. Those planes are basically KC-135s. One of the Pentagon's proposals in this base closure round is to move 4 KC-135 planes to Tinker from an Air Guard station in Oregon. Tinker also scored near the top in the command and control category. Oklahoma's looking pretty good as far as keeping their bases. If they close them down, Oklahoma would turn into more of a ghost town. Oklahoma area, wherever the bases are located. So we're closing bases in America. We're setting up bases in the Middle East and all other parts of the globe. We have contingents of military in 135 countries, according to various sources. Keep that in mind. Our military is out of this country overseas in many respects. Our military equipment, all out of this country overseas, being used and worn out in the Middle East. And According to J.R. Nyquist, China's war preparations are deliberate, and the implications should be passed over, should not be passed over lightly. China is a highly secretive country, like all communist countries. The objective of communism is world revolution, the overthrow of global capitalism, the destruction of the free market, the elimination of all international bourgeoisie, and the disarming of the United States. We should be puzzled indeed if Chinese policy did not follow the communist line. Given all this, it is official, or it is difficult to account for the dismissive attitude of U.S. intelligence experts when regarding Chinese intentions. The China problem is a serious one. Chairman Mao Zedong in 1964 stated, quote, "The people of the countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America should unite. The people of all continents should unite and so form the broadest united front to oppose U.S. imperialist policies of aggression and war and defend world peace." That's what Mao Zedong said. What I have here, quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, dust off this little paperback. Oh boy, this is still required reading in the schools of communist China. "People of the world unite and defeat the U.S. aggressors and all their running dogs. People of the world, be courageous, dare to fight, defy difficulties, and advance wave upon wave. Then the whole world will belong to the people. Monsters of all kinds shall be destroyed." Mao Zedong, listener. China is still the way it is. That is a statement supporting the people of the Congo against U.S. aggression. November 28, 1964. "People of the world unite and defeat the U.S. aggressors and all their lackeys." The Communist Party of China, having made a clear-headed appraisal of the international and domestic situation on the basis of the science of Marxism-Leninism, recognized that all attacks by the reactionaries at home and abroad had to be defeated and could be defeated. When dark clouds appeared in the sky, we pointed out that they were only temporary, that the darkness would soon pass and the sun break through. That's the present situation in our task, December 25th, 1947. Oh boy. Thank you.
opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Secession from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the truth provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the truth provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
Agenda 21 is in full force being implemented around us. However, the Infrastructure Privatization Executive Order from 1992, Executive Order number 12803, Infrastructure Privatization, is allowing foreign assets to be in this country to buy up our assets. There's a strategic plan being engineered. It is most obvious to me that this is the way it is. And we are being deceived on a constant basis. Is there going to be an ultimate attack on us? You cannot rule it out because of the military might that China has. Communist China, that is. You cannot rule it out. It's just not fathomable to rule it out. Communist China has outright said they're going to take us. And the Soviet Union, or as Russia now is called, is part of the deception. This is why I put Hans on every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And this is very, very important to remember. From Jeff Nyquist, the China problem is a serious one. Quote, the people of the countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America should unite. The people of all continents should unite and so form the broadest united front to oppose U.S. imperialist policies of aggression and war and defend world peace, end quote. What's going on right now? This is going on right this minute with that article I covered this afternoon. In Saturday's paper, Beijing, Moscow warn against domination. Russia and China warned other nations Friday against attempts to dominate global affairs and interfere in the domestic issues of sovereign nations in what appeared to be a veiled expression of their irritation with U.S. policy. Now, what is U.S. policy? U.S. policy is advancing the United States mission to the United Nations. This is the deception of it all. Now, this article continues, and I've covered this on a regular basis tonight and this afternoon, and I'll do it tomorrow with Jeff. I'm sorry, with Hansa. Presidents Vladimir Putin and Hu Jintao signed a joint declaration after 2 days of talks calling for a stronger United Nations role in global affairs and opposing attempts, quote, to impose models of social and political development from outside, end quote. The two leaders also urged other states to renounce, quote, striving for monopoly and domination in international affairs and attempts to divide nations into leaders and those being led, end quote. While the declaration did not identify any specific country, it echoed similar veiled hints by Moscow and Beijing about U.S. policy in global affairs. After decades of rivalry, here's the deception, listeners. After decades of rivalry, Moscow and Beijing have developed what they call a strategic partnership since the 1991 Soviet collapse, pledging their adherence to a multipolar world, a term that refers to their opposition to U.S. domination. Now, see, the collapse of the Soviet Union was a planned scenario. Nothing's changed. People don't want to believe that. People do not want to believe that situation. After decades of rivalry, Moscow and Beijing have developed what they call a strategic partnership since the 1991 Soviet collapse. Now, that was all by design. The collapse of communism was supposed to put us farther asleep. Now, China and Russia share a concern about increased U.S. influence in Central Asia since the September 11, 2001 attacks, which led to American troop deployments in Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan for operations in neighboring Afghanistan. Now, this doesn't wash very well because the Soviets and our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built the roads in Afghanistan, to Afghanistan, through Afghanistan. According to Abdul Shams in the book In Cold Blood, the Soviets built the roads north to south, built them out of concrete to withstand the heavy weight of tanks. Our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built the roads east to west to and from Afghanistan. According to Abdul Shams, who was there, part of the government of Afghanistan, before it was infiltrated and corrupted and taken over in 1979. While Russia remains a U.S. ally in fighting terror, relations often have been strained by U.S. concerns about backtracking on democracy under Putin and Moscow's worries about what it sees as U.S. meddling in ex-Soviet republics. Beijing is unhappy about U.S. ties with Taiwan. Beijing claims Taiwan is part of its territory and says the island has no right to conduct foreign relations. The point of all this is the infiltration into our government has got to be pretty complete at this point in time. Pretty complete. There's insiders in our federal government helping to implement the Hegelian dialectic to bring us into a totalitarian regime. And certainly the State Department is majorly behind this. According to Joan Vion, the State Department went communist in 1960. The deception continues. Now, back to Jeff Nyquist's article. In terms of today's peace movement, Mao's sentiments are up to date. They are, I think, a founding inspiration. The supposed death of communism may have eliminated a few soiled terms, but not the main idea. The label of old hatreds may be changed, but the content remains the same. And because America's asleep and the market is buzzing with Chinese goods, the U.S. government has turned a blind eye. The truth about China is worse than inconvenient. It is painful. So a special context has been devised for dismissing inconvenient facts. This context is inculcated at graduate schools, think tanks, and in government. The context for understanding international affairs must not admit the existence of a coordinated, secretive, and dangerous combination of countries motivated to overthrow the United States. In other words, the existence of a communist bloc cannot be admitted. And China's role within this bloc, above all, must be rated as a crackpot notion. And yet, the existence of something identical to the old communist bloc, whatever we choose it to call it, is indicated by actions across the board by Russia, the East European satellite countries, North Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, and China. Some ideas fall from fashion, but truth is always true. Fashion is not. U.S. experts failed to connect the dots regarding China's development of a long-range cruise missile, a new attack submarine, new ground-to-air missiles, a new anti-ship missile, presumably for sinking U.S. aircraft carriers, and more. China is preparing for war against the United States, specifically. As absurd as it may sound to the economic optimist who think trade with China guarantees peace, the U.S. and China are bound to collide. Anyone who thinks otherwise doesn't have a sense of history, doesn't understand communist thinking, or the overall policy Beijing has constantly and consistently followed since 1949. Communist countries periodically experiment with capitalism. They always seek trade with the West, and they always sink the money and technology they gain thereby into a military buildup. Ultimately, they don't care about the prosperity of their people, the state of the national infrastructure, personal or press freedom. Some believe they mustn't say that China is a threat. Such a statement would be akin to self-fulfilling prophecy, but an honest appreciation of Chinese actions should not be disallowed by an appeasing diplomacy or wishful thinking. The job of the analyst is not to guarantee good relations with countries that are preparing for destructive war. The job of the analyst is to see war preparations, diplomatic maneuvers, and economic policies and draw a common sense conclusion about them. If world peace depends on hiding China's military buildup, then world peace is not like your fat uncle dressed in a Santa Claus suit, saying it's your fat uncle may ruin Christmas for your little sister, but Santa Claus isn't a real person and never will be. On June 27th, there's an article by Washington Times author Bill Gertz, Beijing devoted to weakening enemy U.S. defector, says. According to Gertz, a former Chinese diplomat named Chin Yonglin says the top Chinese official considers the United States to be, quote, the largest enemy, the major strategic rival, end quote, of China. There is no reason to doubt Mr. Chin's testimony. He is doubtless telling the truth, which helps to explain China's rapid military buildup. Chin's statement underscores a certain lack of symmetry between Beijing and Washington. Top U.S. officials do not consider China to be America's largest enemy or major strategic rival. Instead, China is viewed as a major trading partner, and U.S. economic interests generally prefer the appeasement of China. Consequently, you will not find the U.S. Congress cutting off favored nation trading status for China. The White House has carefully avoided any hint that China is considered an enemy country. Growing Chinese involvement in Latin America is not viewed with alarm. Politicians refuse to acknowledge that China is building a military alliance with Russia, Cuba, Iran, and others. Gertz further tells us that China is engaged in a massive military intelligence gathering operation against the United States. And what a perfect opportunity to do that, listeners, when you have sea crate containers coming into this country, 98% uninspected, not knowing what comes from communist China, being shipped throughout the United States of America. Chinese agents are working day and night to monitor its enemies, as well as Chinese nationals living abroad. Chinese agents are working to influence the military, trade, and foreign policies of key countries like Australia, Canada, and the United States. China is playing a game of divide and conquer, seeking to drive a wedge between America and its traditional allies. In fact, Beijing's influence operations are so successful that Chinese diplomat Qin's request for political asylum in Australia was turned down by the Australian government. The Chinese penetration of Canada has been outlined by a joint RCMP-CSIS report titled Sidewinder. According to this report, quote, hand in hand with their ethnicity and their commercial obligations, the financial network of the Chinese entrepreneurs associated to the organized crime and to the power in Beijing has grown exponentially and very rapidly in Canada. Their influence over local, provincial, and national political leaders has also increased. In the game of influence, several of these important Chinese entrepreneurs have associated themselves with prestigious and influential Canadian politicians, offering them positions on their boards of directors. Many of those companies are China's national companies, end quote. It is difficult for an open democratic society to counter such methods. Those who believe that China is democratizing by way of capitalism will be disappointed. Diplomatic defector Qin told the Washington Times that the ruling Communist Party of China has not changed or softened its Marxist-Leninist views. Certainly they haven't changed. Every time you go to Red Square, or whatever they call it in Beijing, you see a gigantic picture of Mao Zedong. China's swing toward capitalism is a tactic for building communist military power, not a foundation for Chinese democracy. Americans who invest in China have made a foolish bargain. In a two-part series by Gertz, we find that China could be ready for war in 2 years. China has developed advanced weapon systems through the theft of U.S. technology. America appears unable to secure its military secrets. The attitude of Americans in government as well as in the private sector may be characterized as unwary, sleepy, or downright sloppy. The Chinese have not only stolen the secret of America's most advanced nuclear warhead, they have also stolen the secret of our Aegis anti-air weapon system. In a war with China, U.S. servicemen will be killed by U.S. technology in Chinese hands. According to Jeff Nyquist, groundbreaking stories by Bill Gertz published in the Washington Times are routinely dismissed or ignored by analysts in and out of government. 4 years ago, Jeff met a Stratfor analyst at a conference that turned his nose up at the many stories broken by Bill Gertz. But what about Gertz's inside stories, his track record of accurate reporting? No, no, said the Stratfor analyst. Quote, the Washington Times is owned by the Moonies, end quote. In other words, we should judge the reporter by the owner of the paper. The Unification Church of the Reverend Sun Myung Moon owns America's most prestigious conservative newspaper. This fact, however, doesn't discredit the Washington Times or Bill Gertz any more than the religious affiliation or atheism of other newspaper owners. Every owner of every newspaper has a point of view. The owner's point of view doesn't negate the truth of Chinese defector testimony or secret U.S. government reports. Where point of view comes in the picture is in the choice of what is news, which facts are pertinent, and what context to frame them in. In these choices, the Washington Times is not mistaken, and those who ignore the facts are merely cultists in their own right, their minds as closed and bigoted as they may be found in this or any age. Now, some of you may disagree with what I've covered tonight. I really don't care what you think. I have a great background of 20th century history. I understand the stepping stone process of taking over countries and destroying countries. And a perfect example is how free China turned into slave China. In the 1930s, they were infiltrated with opium dens. The entire population of China was encouraged to smoke opium. Helped to weaken the country. Just like what's happening in this country. Drugs. Potheads. How many out there listening are potheads? How many out there listening do drugs? That's part of the plan. You see, we're being drugged down because countries in the past have been drugged down. The most recent country to document would be Communist China, which used to be Free China in the 1930s. Chiang Kai-shek's military was infiltrated to corrupt it, just like our military is infiltrated to corrupt it. Right now, our military moves and maneuvers for a UN system. Russia and China are major players in the UN Security Council system. We have no hope unless people turn around and change and understand the big picture in place. Yes, Agenda 21 is in full force being under implementation. It's gigantic. Darren recognizes it. Dennis recognizes it. Sam and Trish recognize it. But outside of this small block of people, it's really not recognized by very many people. I'm going to be on Wing TV at Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time, I believe. Talk to them about this, you know. I'm more concerned about the direction our country's turned and turning than beating up on talk show hosts. Communist goals of 1963 say, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the United Nations, listeners. A done deal. A done deal, people. All these communist goals of 1963 are under full implementation. Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites, number 5. Number 6, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. Number 7, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. It's all here. Number 10, allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. What's the UN for? The UN is an infiltration treaty-making organization to undermine our constitutional republic. What is the UN? An extension of the League of Nations, formed in 1919. That's all it is. That's all the UN is an extension of the League of Nations of 1919 that we would not get into, but after World War II, or during World War II, the United Nations was in full operation. And yet, the Association for Sustainable Human Development from Armenia, listen carefully to what they say. The mission is propagandize and spread the main ideas, principles, and values system of sustainable human development concept, world experience, as well as the activities of UN structures in this sphere, to assist in elaboration and putting into practice the concept and program of sustainable development in Armenia. The point is, regardless of the situation in place, sustainable development, smart growth, Agenda 21, Biodiversity Treaty, will still be under implementation if this country is ultimately attacked. Because it's the best way to organize slavery. That's what Agenda 21 is all about. Being told what you can and cannot do, including the World Toilet Organization. Now, you've got a big group called the Bilderbergs. They do their thing. We are not privy to what they do. But Mark Tucker is the one that connects the dots all the time to that. Mark Kornke was never an agent, was never a set-up scenario system for himself. If Mark Kornke was not a genuine person, Mark Kornke would not be in prison for as long as he is and has been. They do away with people, find ways to do away with people. Some of the things he did I did not agree with, but this is what we've got to do. We've got to watch out what we do and do the right thing for our country and hope the people on the inside understand the big picture in place. Here we see dated June 15th, listeners. New NASA chief replaces officer, gears up for moon landings. Oh boy. NASA's new boss is changing one of his top officers as the space agency races toward meeting President Bush's goal of sending astronauts to the moon in a decade or so, and later on to Mars. Listen carefully to Sid Tolbert's report on Iron Mountain on the website AmericanExpose.com. He does it all. He does it very well. It's all connected. It makes sense. Unreachable goals. And we are in a mess. A big, big mess. Good night until tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Time on First Amendment Radio and WWCR 9.985.